Hey, welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You. We're a CastBox original produced in partnership with Studio 71.
CastBox happens to be the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android. That's where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Shit They Don't Tell You wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you give CastBox a shot because we think it's the best.
It is the best. It's better than sex.
Let's not.
It's better than sex.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You with Nikki.
Yo, I'm Steve Green.
And today it's just us. We don't have a guest.
We got canceled on big time.
But I actually like it because I think it's kind of cool to just have one where we're just talking to ourselves because we like talking to each other, which is weird because we're in a relationship and we see each other all the time. You think we get sick of each other.
No, I love talking
to him.
Nothing to me happens in my life unless I can confirm it with Nikki.
Yeah, it's true. When I experience something and he's not there to see it, it's like it never happened.
Yeah, it really is that way. It's very weird.
We're so gross.
Right? No, like, and you're going to Vietnam soon, too, and I'm like, damn, will it even be real?
I know.
Because I'm not going with you.
You're not going. So did I even really go to Vietnam?
I know.
I feel like not.
I feel like I feel okay about it now, but when you're there, I'm going to be so bummed.
I know, me too. Because, it's cool. Like, the pictures look amazing. It's like a tropical beach, and we're on there at a 5-star resort with all this, like, cool food and stuff. But how cool is it if you're alone during it?
I know. That's weird. It's weird. And I'm going to Florida alone.
Yeah, that's true. But you'll
be with
people.
JK crew,
yeah, you'll be with people. So today I thought, since it's just you and me, that we talk about relationships, because I feel like that's probably the strongest area of both of our lives. I never have to worry about our relationship.
It is the one area of life where we are wealthy.
Yes. Like, I feel like that's always been the poorest area of life in all my other relationships, where
Same. It's
like I'm trying to get work done, but then something shitty is happening in my relationship and I can't concentrate because I got to focus on this thing that happened, and is he going to text me back? Is he going to be home? Am I going to have to track him down? What's he going to be doing? I have to worry about it.
Yeah, it's like the one place where I'm like, I don't have to sweat that. I can worry about other shit.
I honestly never worry about our relationship ever. You could walk into a room full of strippers and I don't even
And I often
blink.
Do.
Yeah.
And sometimes she doesn't blink.
I'm just like, hey, why don't you go walk into a room full of strippers?
Yeah. And I'm like, absolutely.
You haven't done it in a while.
All right, I'll do it.
So the relationship is like a really broad topic, and we've brushed on it a couple times with some of our guests. So to just kind of pick a smaller subtopic within that spectrum, I thought we'd talk about like our shitty relationships that helped make find a good. Yeah.
Basically.
Basically. I felt like, because a lot of people, they really want a partner. They really want to find. They really want to find the one, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, how did you find the one?" And it's like, "Well, you don't know the one, or at least I didn't until I found all the not ones."
Correct.
You know, and so going through those relationships, I no longer feel like it's just something people say when they're like, "I'm so grateful for my shitty relationships because it helped me learn what I want." I always thought that they were just saying that to, like, try to find some good out of a dark thing. But now I really believe that's true. I really am super grateful for all the relationships that didn't work out, that I really wanted to work out.
But you didn't know.
Yeah. I really thought I was in love with them.
It's like you got a shitty car and you just keep fixing it and trying to make it work with this car.
And it's like you picked that car and you really loved that car.
You love the color. You love the size. You love the shape.
And you want it to be the one so bad.
And you could spread out in that car. It was great. I could fit in that car so well.
So well. And you're comfortable with it. Even the shitty parts of it, you're like comfortable with it.
And it breaks down you all the time, disappoints you all the time.
But you're like, I know if I kick it right here and I kind of like loosen some screw here.
If I jimmy a little bit,
it'll
get it going again.
It's perfect.
And then
I'm happy.
On one day, you sit down in a 2013 Mini Cooper and you're like, this is what I've been missing. And that's Nikki. She's my 2013 Mini. Hard top.
Oh, not even upgraded to the cool consoles, huh?
No. I want the standard base model.
The base model.
Yeah, just Wi-Fi.
And you try to add like a little USB for your phone and it.
Yeah, I got to get a dongle.
It doesn't.
That's Nikki. She's my dongle.
I'm your Cooper with a dongle.
That's it. Really, you know, you don't know. Like, I would have been happy just driving my shitty truck my whole life, but then I found my Mini.
Trying to make it work, because if that those times that the truck got you to your destination, you were like, oh, see, I like this truck.
Exactly. Like driving LA traffic with on a manual stick shift, fucking wanting to kill myself.
But you don't realize how much easier it could be until you actually get the right car.
Crawling out of my truck, wanting to die. Literally wanting to die.
If you think we can't
make
this.
My left leg, like having hold the clutch down for 2.5 hours in LA traffic, and I army crawled out of that thing. And I was like, oh, Lord, take me. Just take.
And if you think we can't keep this car analogy going the entire episode, you're
wrong.
You're
about to find out how right you are.
So I think I learned like a little bit from each relationship, you know? The ones that hurt me the most were the ones that you need to learn from, I think.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's all such a big mixed blur now of like sameness,
mm-hmm.
because everything was so disappointing compared to you.
Aww.
That it's all just a big smear blurb of like shitty. It's like I ate bad food my whole life, you know, until I found this great restaurant.
You still eat bad food, actually. You
this
still
is a new
eat
analogy.
Really bad food.
That's true. And I cook bad food.
Yeah.
You
eat the
Nikki's
bad food.
Nikki's not with me
cook.
For my cooking, I'll tell you that right now.
Definitely not.
It's a goddamn guarantee, but unless she wants defrosted chicken and vegetables.
No way, dude. I definitely don't.
Yeah. Defrosted on the pan, by the way, because I go from freezer to freaking already on the grill.
Yeah. And it's very, very shocking to walk into that if you were outside your home before and then you walk
but
into your home.
But then this bitch cooks broccoli, so she has no right to
talk
about
smell. I give you a broccoli
warning. She has no
warning.
Right. Literally none.
I give you a broccoli warning. But dating is awful. We're both relationship people.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
When people who are like, what do you mean relationship people? I want to be a relationship people.
It means that like there's some people that really like being single. And they're like, I don't want to give up my single life. And they freaking love it.
So
and
we're
they,
really
like,
codependent.
They go party all the time. I think those people are more codependent. They're more codependent on socializing and like getting their self-esteem from being social. I just like being by myself, unless there's someone that kind of builds on that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
The person that I'm dating is should be like my best friend. That we like the same shit. We like the same activities. We see life the same way.
Yep.
And whatever I already like, they just make it even better.
That's what I like. That's what's fun about you is I can't wait to hear your take on it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's like, oh, I wonder what Nikki's going to think about
and
this.
I think that's the problem that some people have, people that are codependent. I think that they like the idea of a relationship or they romanticize a relationship over finding the right person. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
So instead, they just
try
don't,
to make that
they don't want to be lonely
instead of finding the right person.
Yeah, and I really think that you have to get to know yourself and like who you are in order to find somebody that complements that. And the only way you get that is by, you know, being single and not jumping from relationship to relationship. So I feel like the relationships that I was in, I loved being in a relationship, but I loved the best friend aspect of it. And I was just, once I lost my best friend, I just wanted to find a best friend again. So that's how you get into a bad relationship.
That's true.
You know, it's just finding somebody that you kind of mesh with, and then you're like, yeah, you're my best friend.
For sure.
Whereas the time alone and being single but not being a party single is when you find yourself, and then you're able to, like, get into a healthy relationship.
I agree.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Wow, this is really fun just being you and
me. Yeah.
No questions, nothing.
Well, I don't disagree with you.
Okay, we can just nod your head. Nobody can see that.
I'm here. Here's my reaction to that.
We're fighting.
I'm nodding again.
I hate this.
Right? No, what I think until we got together, though, and this is so corny, but I didn't even know what love was and shit.
Oh, my God, Dag.
Yeah, so I didn't cuz it should be easy. I feel like. And a lot of people, you know, the whole like I mean, we know so many people who break up like every 3 months or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people who breaks up all the time, like, man, you got to really step back and take a look at what you're in. Cuz there's a reason why this is happening so much. It's cuz it just ain't making it maybe, right? Like Because our relationship, we really don't fight. We have
no.
little quibbles and shit.
But I will say the first year we fought a lot.
Yeah, but we didn't understand
each other. That was just because we were projecting our old relationships
right.
into a new relationship.
We just didn't understand each other yet. And and then once we were like aha with each other,
mm-hmm.
it became easy.
Yeah.
And that's how I think – I mean that's my – I got very lucky with this, but that's how I think it all should be.
I also think that – if people don't sit down and recognize patterns, I didn't realize that I had such a shitty pattern of people that I would fall in love with until I looked back on my old journals and realized that I was dealing with the same exact problems in every relationship. I just thought I just kept finding shitty relationships. And a lot of people do that where they're like, oh, I just can't find the right person. Every guy I find is an asshole, or every girl I find is a bitch, and they only want my money, or like the guys only want sex or whatever. And I think it's important to acknowledge that you're the one seeking that pattern. Like, you're the one that continually attracts the same type of person.
What are they doing? How do they fix it?
Well, you got to find what it is inside you that is attracting that person. Like, why do you keep falling for this guy that is an asshole, or that treats you wrong, or that cheats on you, or whatever, the same type of guy over and over again? And a lot of times it has to do with stuff that happened in your childhood, psychological issues, stuff to do with your parents and the relationship you had with them, and just taking a second to figure out what you don't like about the people that you've been in relationships with or been dating, instead of romanticizing what you did like. You know, yeah.
That's part of the problem, though, is you have to find out what you don't like the hard way.
Yes.
But thankfully you can. Like a lot of people get married way too early, I feel like, and then they just sort of make it all work because that's what marriage is, right? Like, you're supposed to just make it work no matter what, because I got married to this person.
Yeah.
And they don't know that they're trying to force a marriage, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, and look, there's always going to be something that you don't like about the person. Like, there's so much I don't like about Steve.
Oh, there's so much I don't like about Nikki.
There's like a whole list of things I can't stand.
Like, don't get me started.
Don't even get us started on each other. But I mean, there's always going to be like little annoying things or whatever.
What do you got? What's annoying about
me? I actually don't have anything.
See, I don't really have anything about you.
but you know, when I think when they're saying try to make a marriage work, I think you should try to make a marriage
work.
Well,
that's kind of our joke with each other, because, and maybe we're, you know, I don't know, man, I feel weird. But it's like, we always joke with each other, like, man, we got to make this marriage work.
Yeah.
But it's like easy. It's,
yeah, pretty easy. But I'm saying there are things that you shouldn't settle for. So you can put up with the fact that someone doesn't put their freaking toothpaste cap on the toothpaste.
Or you can put up with someone who puts clothes all over the bedroom floor for no reason.
Or maybe somebody that uses a knife and fork on a nonstick pan.
Or perhaps someone, I don't know, just some rando person who has water bottles all over the inside of her fucking car so that every time you sit into it, there's an audible crunch sound.
And those aren't my water bottles.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, whose maybe, are they? Because I don't buy water bottles.
I think they're my husband's.
I don't buy water, ever.
Oh, you never get them?
I don't even drink water.
When you're on other people's shows and podcasts, you don't bring the water bottles into the car?
Maybe sometimes,
yeah, you do.
But I don't even know if I do it.
I have a reusable water bottle because I'm environmentally conscious.
I never know what's in my hands, okay? This is true fact about me, by the way. One time I walked a remote control to the neighborhood pool. I had it in my hand the whole time, and I'm walking with it to the pool, and then I didn't realize I even had the family remote in my hand until I was taking off my shirt. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm holding the remote.
One time I called
my brother's laughing because he knows it's true.
One time I couldn't find my phone, so I called my phone from my phone that was in my hand.
Holy Jesus.
I wish that was fake. I wish that was fake. One time I found it in the refrigerator.
Yeah. No, Nikki's one of those people where she'll just have been holding something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, where is it? I don't understand. I was just holding this thing like not even 30 seconds ago.
And I was just holding it.
And then it's completely and utterly disappeared
from
our lives.
It's completely gone.
Where is it? I don't know.
Nowhere.
30 seconds ago she had it. And now I guess it's in outer space.
It's actually gone. Like, I actually get fucked with. I actually get gaslit by the universe.
Yeah,
all
we got
the time.
Some gnomes or something, but we got a gnome infestation or something, but.
So I'm saying there's little things that are like whatever annoyances, but they're nothing. They're petty. That's like part of a relationship. You're not gonna find someone that's exactly like you.
You're gonna find someone that's exactly perfect.
Like me.
Get over it.
but there are things that you shouldn't settle for that I think people do because of the notion that they should try to make something work, mm-hmm. and that there's always gonna be something wrong with the person, so I'll just settle for this. And there are standards that you can have, and you can find somebody that doesn't do the big things that are not healthy for a relationship. Like, I am shocked at how many people. So my ex-boyfriend cheated on me, and that was the first time I ever was
my
cheated
ex
on.
Cheated on me too.
And I went to tell people about it, I was shocked at the amount of people that were like, "Yeah, people cheat." They were like, "Yeah, some people cheat." Yeah, people lie.
I'm well, yeah, like, that's life, what? Okay? People are going to lie. People are going
to
cheat.
I don't cheat, and I don't lie. Like, so to – and, like, I even had a very cheap psychologist tell me this. It was – it came with my really shitty insurance. Deal? Yeah.
Got him with gas
I
points?
I mean, he should be bad for how much I was paying him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I was telling him how I think my boyfriend's lying to me and that he might be cheating on me. And his response was, everybody lies. Everybody cheats.
Oh, who the hell is this guy?
And I was like, I don't lie. Like, maybe I would lie, like, a white lie about, like, if someone's like, do I look fat in this dress and I don't know them very well? And I'm like, nah, you look great. You
if
know?
I don't know them very well, I'll be like, absolutely. You look like a fucking whale in that dress.
If I love you, I'm like, you should not buy that dress.
Yeah, you look like Big Bird
but
in that
dress.
But
if you're a stranger, I will lie to you. Do I lie to my partner? No, I don't. I never lie to my partner. And I don't cheat.
I'll lie if it saves my ass. Absolutely, 100%. Can't wait to lie if it saves my ass.
But I
hey, honey, did you change the kitty litter? And I'm like, absolutely.
No, your biggest lie is, I'm about to.
Yeah, well, guess what?
I'm about to. He'll say I'm about to for 3 days.
You're damn straight, I will. I'll drag it into four if I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Today's the third day, though.
And
I gotta
do
it.
The way that then he actually does it is, I'm like, you know what? I'll just do it.
That's true.
And then he does it. Oh, wow. Magically, he'll do it if I try to do it. I'm like, I just want it done. Anyway.
What a piece of shit, right?
Those are things.
Terrible husband.
Those are things. I do whatever you need, though. Fine. They have nothing to do with love or the relationship. Mm. Cheating and lying, I feel like, has everything to do with love. And that's not something that I personally could settle for. So you make a list of what you are not, absolutely not by any means, going to settle for. And that was something that I had never done before because I had always been like,
oh, you actually made a physical list.
I did because I always just fell in love with people, like fell in love with the person. And it took me a long time to find someone I actually liked and actually felt would think I was like in love with.
Right.
And so once that happened, I would just excuse everything that they did. Anything shitty that they did to me, I would just excuse it. And I didn't realize that I was finding people that were doing the same shitty things, the same exact shitty things. And I was just, you know, excusing it and putting up with it and being totally devastated and hurt inside. But feeling like, well, that's just how relationships are.
Right.
And they don't have to be. So for me, it was people that had depression that were funny, but they had depression and they lied a lot, and I would catch them lying, and then they would lie about the lie, like make me feel crazy for because I caught them lying. And so over time, I started thinking I was crazy, and I would start doubting my own judgments.
You are kind of crazy.
I am crazy, but not in that way.
Yeah,
I'm not crazy in the way that I will be paranoid and jump to a conclusion that is not true.
That's
I
fair.
Will make sure I have actual like stuff that backs up the claims I'm going to make, or I won't make those claims. I'll be suspicious, but I won't actually make claims. If I have a claim to make, it's because I found some shit. And I would find shit, and they would lie about the shit that I found and make up crazy stories. And I would remember the stories, and then they would kind of like contradict themselves
later. Yeah, that's where you're
good.
You'd be a very good lawyer.
Yeah.
You remember everything.
And detective. Yeah, I'm pretty good at that stuff. Where I'm crazy is emotionally. I'm not good at keeping my emotions very stable.
No.
Like,
God,
I
no.
just will
absolutely
go
no.
off. That's the only place that anyone could
zero
say,
to 10.
Hey, you're kind of crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm passionate.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Yeah. Nobody passionate. Believes me because you're so damn cute.
Well, I am very
but
cute.
But she's absolutely out of her mind.
I'm not.
And every
at
day
all.
She's always up to something. I can't wait to find out what it is. Like, I'm literally excited for tomorrow because she'll be up to something else tomorrow. Like, today, we were talking about how our friends just got a Tesla Model X, which is super sick. Mm. And she was like, I don't even think it's that great. Like, I don't care about it. Like, I don't
I didn't say
shit.
It wasn't that great. I was just like, I just don't get cars. So
yeah,
I don't
you're like,
really
I don't,
like,
I don't really care.
I don't really get it.
And she's like, yeah, I didn't think it was like that great. Like whatever.
No,
like,
it didn't sound like that.
You basically did. No, but I while didn't. You ate eggs out of a fucking bag. She's saying this shit about a Tesla Model X, maybe one of the most beautiful cars I've ever been in, had this beautiful computer console in the center and shit. And she's like, yeah, I just don't get what's so great about it. Like, it wasn't even that classic inside. And she's fucking reaching into a plastic bag and taking hard-boiled eggs out and fucking eating it in traffic. Unbelievable, my white
I'm
trash
better
princess.
Than that Tesla.
Exactly, exactly. This is why this woman's out of her mind. Yeah. I absolutely love her, though.
So I'm eccentric,
exactly.
Okay? But I'm not crazy. Like, if I find something, I'm not crazy and delusional about it.
No, but you're always up to something. That's what I like
about
it.
But yeah, I will not be able to control my emotions, and I am a bit eccentric.
Jesus. Nice.
Yeah.
Like you're describing art at the Guggenheim.
I'm passionate and eccentric, okay, Steve?
Yeah, it's very
I'm
eccentric
not...
choice. Yeah, totally.
I'm
no,
not
she's
crazy.
Just like fucking cries on the floor. randomly out of nowhere. I just come in the room and she's on the floor crying and she's like, go away.
You know what? When I was a child, I was not allowed to cry. Like, so I had to suppress a lot of crying, even though I feel intense emotions. And it was very, it was not healthy, because then later I couldn't feel anything. I became very non-empathetic to everyone. Like,
oh, wow.
I couldn't feel, like, if someone was like, these children are starving in this country, I'm like, so?
So? That's not my children.
No, but not that I felt, like, I felt, like, logically, I'm like, oh, no, that's terrible. But I couldn't feel pain. Like, I couldn't feel their pain and relate to that, because my dad made me not be able to express my feelings. So I learned that you're supposed to just not feel anything. Like, you're supposed to suppress everything, which completely shut off all of my empathy.
You know what was great that we were raised with is...
Wait, can I finish? Because everyone thinks I'm a heartless monster.
Yeah, I do.
So then when I moved to LA and started doing acting classes again, like taking it seriously, it really got opened up again and a floodgate happened. And everything that I actually am, like from childhood, that I am like deep down to my core, came flooding out, where like I am very empathetic to people. Like to a fault, where like I take on people's pain.
You care too much, you know what I'm saying? No.
But that's
your weakness. Your weakness is you care too much.
But that's why I cry every day. It's like half the time it's not even my own shit. It's just I just feel other people's emotions.
Yeah.
So if I watch something on TV or the news or something, like I pick it up, like some mother lost their child, I can't stop feeling pain and crying. So now it's like, you know, what side do you go? Do you go like sociopath, can't feel anything, who cares if people die? Or do you go, oh my God, I feel everything? And
I think you can find a nice middle ground.
And so I try. That's what I do every day.
I understand.
That is my Everest.
Well, let me tell you what I think I was raised with, which is super dope. I always didn't get along with this in relationships too. Like when you get into an argument, then they're like, I just have to go be alone somewhere right now. And then they would just like leave, right? Or they would want to go somewhere. I'm going to my mom's house or some shit, right? I was always – my parents wouldn't let us do that, like straight up. Like if we were in an argument or some shit and I wanted to go to my – storm off and storm in my room and close the door and be alone, they wouldn't let you do that. They were like, we got to deal with it right here, right now.
Oh.
So that's why I'm very
– And you like that.
Oh, yeah. I learned to like – want to try to figure it out instead of just doing the whole like I'm just mad and need to be alone now thing.
Oh really? Because when I try to talk to you when you're upset about something, you like to be alone and figure it out.
Oh no. If I'm personally trying to figure something out with myself,
oh, okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a man. I try to solitarily figure it out like a man would, right? Like I can hear my grandpa in my head like, come on, you little bitch. Like, figure it out. What? You're not a grown-ass man yet? Like, so I like to figure it out, you know? But if I'm in a fight with you, I never do that. Have you ever done that once? Never. I'm not like, I just can't talk to you right now. I need to be alone. Like, to me, I hear my grandpa in my head like, oh, really? You need to be alone, little boy? What, are you going to try a dress on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't – I can't figure out how to even do that. Like, so that's why every time that you're like, I'm going to Santa Barbara, I don't let you.
I haven't said that in years.
Well, I know, but you know.
Yeah.
Anytime that you've been like, I'm going to Santa Barbara, because that's where her folks live.
With the first year, we fought a lot.
Yeah.
And it was over stupid shit, petty shit. And that was always my go-to was like, I'm going to Santa Barbara where I live.
Yeah.
Because I was used to dating guys who were going to walk out. I was used to dating guys who walked out on me during fights. So before you could get to walk out on me, I'm going to walk out on you.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was part of the projecting old relationships. But
I would never let you out that door, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't. No. And that's how I was like, this guy's the one. He's a keeper. He's mine forever. Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I like walking behind her. So So no matter what, I ain't letting her walk out that door.
And on that note, we're going to break for an ad. Maybe an ad. Hopefully an ad. Is it an ad?
Oh, God, I hope it's an ad.
Is it an ad?
You think it's going to be an ad this time, or is it going to be shtick?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know, Steve.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's find out. Just want to thank our sponsors for this week's podcast, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy.
Look, there's something for everybody with HelloFresh's selection, okay? You got three plans to choose from, classic, veggie, or family.
And each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources.
You can rediscover the excitement of cooking, something that I never thought was exciting to begin with.
But did you rediscover it?
I actually just discovered it.
So you,
So you didn't rediscover.
No, I discovered it.
Well, for those of us who have already discovered, you can rediscover. And you can look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing that dinner just got that much easier.
It's like Columbus finding America. He rediscovered a place that has already been found.
People already there, yeah.
Yeah.
You can feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on picture, step-by-step instruction cards, much like I have to do with Steve for anything I ask of him.
HelloFresh believes cooking should be simple and convenient, and not a man holding a wheelbarrow. What is that?
A chore.
Oh, a chore. Yeah, it shouldn't be a chore.
Yeah. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe.
You're not going to spend all night in the kitchen, because recipes only take around 30 minutes. It gives you more time in the shower, wherever you wish you were.
Let me tell you this. You get out of that recipe rut, and you start cooking outside your comfort zone by discovering new delicious recipes in each week's box.
You get delicious, filling meals delivered right to your front door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. Yeah, that's right.
Holy cow.
That's right. Free shipping.
Free shipping. I personally loved this recipe called the Patatas Bravas. It was so good. It was a salad. Who'd have thunk? But it was so good.
It was excellent. It was by far the best potatoes brava I have ever had.
For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, you can visit HelloFresh.com/U30. That's HelloFresh.com/YOU30 and enter the code U30YOU30. Not the letter U. It's like the word U.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the podcast.
Shit They Don't Tell You is sponsored by the Guggenheim. It's time to find some real art, and that's why we sponsored the show. There's nothing but art, wall-to-wall art. Come to the Guggenheim, where there's also wall-to-wall art. We also do have a restaurant.
Wow, where is the Guggenheim? Because I really want to go.
I have no idea.
Wall-to-wall art. Welcome back.
We get classy sponsors.
We really do.
Always classy.
We are blessed.
Never
hashtag
trashy.
Blessed. Never trashy. Never always trashy. Classy.
Right? But we'll take the trashy ones. I don't care.
Were you talking about something that was very important?
Were we?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Well, we got some questions. So
let's
I was wondering if we should wrap up whatever we were talking about, but I can't even remember because that ad
know.
Was so good.
I never know because the ad was yeah. so, and it was so, it made us so rich.
Yeah. We're very rich. You know, podcasters are very rich.
The people who can see this on my channel can see that we're just thumbing through wads of cash right now, which you get paid as you give the ad. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And it just falls while the
That's
ad is
it.
Playing. Okay. So Claire asks, and by the way, if you ever have any questions or messages, you can message us at podcast@nikki.limo, and we will see your message.
And we will use your first and last name, and we will tell everyone who you are.
Yeah, put a pseudonym if you don't want us to say your name.
A pseudonym?
A pseudonym? Is that what it was called?
No, it's
What's
a pseudonym.
Called? Oh, shit.
Holy absolute
Wait, can we
hell.
Redo that? Fuck,
no, we
I don't want to look dumb.
No, leave it
I don't
in.
Look
leave
dumb.
It in.
Oh,
leave
my
it
God.
In. Leaving it in. Mark's leaving
are
it in.
Are you sure?
No, it's
Fuck.
Staying. A
Fuck.
Pseudonym,
Fuck.
You idiot.
Fuck.
A pseudonym? I'll never forget this one.
I've only seen it on paper.
A pseudonym?
Pseudonym.
A pseudonym?
Like, it looks like suede on
no,
paper.
It, yeah, exactly.
It does look
it's
like
not
suede.
A type of fabric.
Argue with me. Tell me it doesn't look like suede on paper.
Technically, it starts with a
pseudonym.
Yeah.
A pseudonym.
The P I knew was silent, so there.
You're an idiot now. Nobody will think you're smart ever.
Great. I like
yes.
it that way. That way I'm underestimated.
Oh, good.
Okay. So Claire asks, for a relationship segment, how does one overcome body dysmorphia in a relationship? I feel like that's a
wow.
great question. Because there's always days still that I'm like, no, I look fat. Don't look at me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
I know I'm not fat. But
no.
like in the mirror, I look fat. Like I look fat and I don't want you to look at me.
Yeah, she's really insistent on when I can look at her, when I cannot look
yeah,
at her.
Yeah, because sometimes he looks at me and I'm like, yeah, I own this shit. Like,
I always like what I see, so that's why I'm looking.
Yeah, but some days I'm like, ew, I'm gross, stop.
Wow.
Why are you looking at
I've
me?
I've never seen that day. You look good. You look hella good.
I know you're sweet.
Well, she doesn't always say that.
Well,
she's always like, don't look at me. And she's like, stop it. I can't even be like secure like in my house and change in my own
no,
room.
No, but that is true. I do like some privacy while I'm changing and I don't get it because
I deny your
always
privacy.
In the bedroom when I have to
I'm
change.
I'm a huge fan of your naked body.
I know, but I just like it for me.
Whatever.
We're fighting.
Whatever.
We're fighting.
This podcast is over.
We could never.
I could never do a podcast with you again.
We could never do a podcast together.
No.
We just fight.
That's right.
We never fight, by the way, but we just fight.
That's right. I would say, I mean, you're the body dysmorphia expert, I would say. What
expert.
right?
Is a loose term.
Like, I mean, I guess it's just listening,
man. I think it's an ongoing thing that you have to work on. So
I don't think that becomes solved.
No, it's like more – you have to more do inner work. So instead of – it has nothing to do with the relationship, you know. It's more you and how you view you and how much you love yourself and are giving yourself love on a daily basis. And that part's really hard for me. Again, I think from childhood issues. I just think it's really I had a very perfectionist father. And we have a great relationship. By the way, Dad, I love you very much. But I never got, like, love or praise unless I was doing something perfect. No, unless I was doing something perfect.
Damn.
So if I was getting
– dark as shit.
If I got really good grades, then I – and no, he loved me the whole time, but
– I love the little tags. By the way, Dad was the best.
No, he did.
But he wouldn't feed me for weeks at a time.
No, he was a great dad. No, he just the way that he was brought up was by a military father, because that's just how it was back then. And so he never did any of that. And but he was just very strict on what he considered to be a good standard. And so, like, it was like if I got really good grades, then it was like, yay, you did a good one. You did a good job. But not unless if I got a B. Then no, you don't get praise. And so I feel like I took that mentality into every aspect of my life. So if my body isn't perfect, then it can't be loved. Like, it shouldn't be loved. It doesn't deserve to be loved.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that I was doing this until I went to a psychologist and, like, I realized I was doing that in every area of my life. In my career, if I'm not booking work, then I shouldn't be loved. Like, I shouldn't have any success or anything, because how could I if I'm not even good enough to book work, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I feel like that has a lot to do with just constant reminding myself that I deserve to be loved, and that love shouldn't be distributed based off of what you've accomplished or what you've done. It should just be because you're a human being and you're worth being loved. Like, if you think of a baby coming in the world, they didn't do anything, but you just love them. Like, right away, you love them because they're a baby.
I remember when we were first getting together, you were like, well, it was before we got together, but this was like a year before, I think. But you were telling me that you were up for this show, like this Charlie Sheen show. What the hell was it?
You don't have to talk. Don't say the show.
Oh, you were up for the show.
Yeah.
And then and you were pretty close. Like, you were in, like, the final whatever the hell, a round of auditions.
And it was, like, a show that was going to be automatically into syndication.
Yeah, you get, like 96 episodes out of the gate.
They already bought 100 episodes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember I told you, and I was just, like, you know, just, like, hey, I think you can get this. I think this you're going to get this. Like, this is
– Yeah, you were like, I could totally see you on that.
I could see you doing
that. That makes sense is what you said.
Yeah, yeah. And you were stunned by that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you were getting that at all in your life from anywhere.
No. Like, not in my relationship. I didn't tell my parents anything until after I would book things. So that was just automatically, like, I didn't want to tell them unless I knew for sure, like, something was coming out that they could watch. Because that's embarrassing when you're like, I'm on the show. I've done that before. And then it never comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I only told my boyfriend at the time who was living with me. And I was like, you know, I was telling him how I was nervous because this was, like, a big deal. It's a huge career changer if I were to get it. And how, like, what if I'm not good enough? And he was like, I'm sure you're fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what he said. Right. He wasn't like, you're so talented or like you know, some stuff that builds you up. And I don't want him to lie to me.
Yeah, I didn't even think I was building you up either. I was just like, I really could picture you on the show. I really thought you could do it.
Yeah, and I almost cried.
And you're right. I could tell. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, because like nobody had said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was all easy after that. Holy
so anyway,
shit.
Body dysmorphia. I think also just being on camera and being in an industry – nowadays everybody's on camera because you're all on Instagram. So like just knowing that you're taking pictures and the public's going to see you and people are going to judge you. I think it is.
And people are going to leave comments about you and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, that's another thing.
Saying you look pregnant all the time.
Today, like they leave comments all the time saying I look pregnant or they think they see a baby bump. And it bothers me, but I know that it shouldn't bother me, you know?
And with me, they just call me. I say I look like shit all the time, and I'm like, yeah.
It's just because I exercise so much, and I diet. I mean, like, I not diet, but I like eat really healthy. I eat healthy foods, and and I exercise all the time. And so, like, to get told, like, that you see a baby bump, it's like, ugh, man, like, what do I gotta do?
Yeah.
So, Claire, I would say, even if you have body issues that you're constantly struggling with, that's, like, your own little battle, don't – it has nothing to do with the relationship. So – don't bring your partner in and be like, do I look fat? Am I fat? And like need constant validation from them, because then they start feeling like they're in a position where they have to like constantly tell you that you don't look fat and that you are instead of what it really is, which is, am I worthy of love? Which is, so that's what you should focus more on. Does my partner love me? Like for who I am, all or nothing.
Exactly. And one thing that I do, too, that helps me a lot with that, because, you know, I feel like I could look a lot better and I'm working on it, man. But I drink alcohol. And when I do, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good.
Well, you have like opposite body dysmorphia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
I do.
You don't know you gained weight until someone tells you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or exactly. Until you like see a picture,
you know,
or
that,
something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. Whereas I'm I'm on the offense.
But if I see myself in something gosh. Couple months ago, I was on the Stevie Weeby show.
Yeah,
and I looked at myself in that video, and I was like, "Holy shit!"
But in the mirror, you
piece
don't
of shit.
You don't see that in the mirror.
Not necessarily. No, not all the time. It depends, because we have some friendly mirrors at home.
I don't think they're friendly at all.
My bathroom mirror,
that's
the difference. Friendly.
I don't think any mirror in our house.
You don't
is
think
friendly.
Our bathroom mirror is friendly?
But that's what I. That's why I think that it's more of a mental state than
I see.
Than of what you actually look like. Because
but if I see myself on camera, I'm like, oh, look at that fat piece of shit going by again. But if I see myself at home in the bathroom mirror, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty good. And then if I like, you know, have a shot of whiskey or something,
I'm like, damn, you looking fine.
I'm like, I have washboard abs. Tell me they're not washboard. I'm like, I can't tell
like
the difference.
Like, I'll wash the clothes on here right now.
Yeah, you can wash clothes on
watch
this.
Watch me wash the clothes
exactly
on
right.
This. Watch, are you watching?
Exactly.
That's great. I envy you.
Thank you.
I would prefer that.
I envy me. I envy drunk me. He's the best.
Okay, we have another question. My friend is so desperate to be in a relationship, he falls for every single girl that speaks to him. Is it at a detriment to his mental and emotional? Oh, it is at a detriment to his. Let me just start that over. It is at a detriment to his mental and emotional well-being. However, I have tried to make him see sense and be less desperate, but to no avail. What can I do? P.S. Sticky is gold.
P.S.
Sticky is goals. And signed, a frustrated homie.
Is she just a homie, or is she trying to get this dude who's this interested in a friend, but perhaps someone who would be a potential lover? That's my advice.
Oh, you think...
Love him instead. That's
so
what I say.
So you think this is a girl... You're assuming this is a girl talking about a guy friend.
That's what I thought. Am I wrong?
Oh, I don't know. It could be. I don't know, because there's no name. So I don't know. I thought when I read it, it was a dude looking out for his homie.
Oh, if it's a homie, yeah, maybe.
But
yeah.
It might be a girl.
That'd be kind of tight, right?
Yeah.
And she's
so let's talk about both
of them.
It's
like the movie. It's like the Never Been Kissed thing.
If he is falling for every single girl that speaks to him...
I knew guys like that.
Yeah, my brother's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, your brother's a lot like that, actually.
No offense, Dane. I'm just slamming
and
my
Dane,
whole family.
And Dane
family.
Thinks that all these chicks are super into him, too.
Yeah, but he has a girlfriend now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's tight. But
we like her, right?
Yeah, we like
her.
We like her. Yeah. Good. I haven't met her, but I like her from
I always ask this when we go anywhere with Nikki. Like, I always say...
We like her?
I'm like, we like her. Or we like him. Like, if we're going with your aunts and uncles or somewhere, and I'm like, we like him, right? And then if she says yes, then we do.
Then we do. We like him.
Because like if I was hanging out with like say my aunt or whatever, I'd be like, no, we don't like her. See, it makes it easy.
That is great that we have that.
Yeah, it helps.
Code going on.
Exactly.
I mean, again, this is something to do with people's self-esteem. If they're falling for every single girl that talks to them, then it's something to do with validation and feeling that. Maybe they're not good enough for someone to fall for them. So then they think that everyone.
Yeah, they're trying to
overcompensate
to, like,
yeah,
for,
they
the lack,
to everyone.
For the lack of attention that they get.
Right.
So all the littlest attention they get, they blow it up into a fucking huge thing.
Huge deal.
And it's not.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of these guys end up being the hashtag nice guys. Because they think that they mine every little detail of a comment that a girl makes.
Yeah.
And then they think the girl really likes them.
Yeah.
And then they clam onto the girl, and the girl's like, yo, I don't like you. And they're like, yeah, because you only like assholes, and I'm just such a good guy. Forever.com.
I've had a guy come up to me and be like, I think your friend's gay.
All right. That's because, funny.
And they're like, no, I really think she is. Because, like, she was putting out all these vibes, and then I asked her out, and she said no.
I know. I know. Yeah.
And then he started pointing out things that he thought were, like, facts. I'm like, no, she's definitely not gay.
We've heard her talk.
She's definitely not into you.
Yeah.
She's not putting out those vibes.
She let us know. You'll be fine. She also talks about dicks a lot, and she really likes dicks.
She's a very nice person.
Actually, she'll go out with any guy except for you.
Not you, though.
Just not you.
Unfortunately, I think for your friend, because you're saying it's at a detriment to his mental and emotional well-being, but he's not going to make a change like you trying to make him see sense and be less desperate. He's not going to be open to that until he actually hits rock bottom.
All you can do is be real with your boy. Be real with your homie.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Be real with your homie.
Like, hey, man, guess what? You're going to be like niceguyforever.com because unless you change this like whole like I got to blow everything up into a huge thing when
right.
it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But he's got to actually get to a point where he's like, oh, my gosh, how do I get out of this? Why do I keep doing this? And like, you know, get to that point where he's open to your help and advice, because people don't change until they actually decide to change.
Totally.
So good luck with that, frustrated homie. And if you are a girl trying to swoop in them DMs, good luck to you. Okay, we got time for one more question, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pick a good one.
Get a good one for once. Those last two were shit.
Okay. Hey. People don't know when you're kidding or not sometimes.
No, I mean, I'm
– because you're so deadpan.
I'm 100% serious.
He's not
serious. Last two were terrible.
Hey, Nikki and Steve. Longtime fan of you both. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's very nice.
Super happy you guys decided to make a podcast.
Finally,
good
question.
So are we. Wow,
finally.
They haven't even heard our podcast yet, and they already are
Yeah,
happy.
They already like it. Or by now, they're like, I don't listen to it anymore. Damn.
I've been friends with a guy from school for a little over 8 months now, and we seem to mesh really well. We're studying the same thing, have the same humor, and he's just genuinely someone I like to be around. We graduate college in less than a month, but we'll be living in the same area afterwards. We're also pretty comfortable with each other already, so I guess my question is, what do you guys think is the best course of action to go from friends to something more? Thanks for the help.
I wonder what the vibe is.
Me too.
Like, is the vibe like, they kind of like each other, but they're too pussy to say anything? Like that
yeah.
kind of thing?
Also, like, I wonder if this is a girl or a guy. You know, because I think it's different.
Because I know somebody who has severe attachment issues,
mm-hmm.
and this person will not let a girl know that he likes them because out of fear, mm-hmm. out of pure fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think that this person, who shall remain completely nameless, very good guy, by the way.
He may or may not be in this room.
He's
right
a
now?
Good man, I'll tell you.
As you both glance at the camera.
He's a good guy, I'll say that, I'll tell you. But he's so afraid of the no that he'll never know. And isn't that beautiful?
That is exactly what I was going to say. You have to make a move because you'll wonder what if all the time.
Always.
And I never.
It's called unrequitedlove.com, son.
My biggest thing in all of life is to not have that what if feeling. I actually ended a 5-year relationship with nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong in our relationship, but I just had that what if feeling of like, what if there's someone better out? Like, I just felt I'd never dated. In my adult life, he was like from when I was like under 18. So we dated for 5 years from like 17 to 22.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I don't think I can marry this guy because I don't know what else is out there. And if I'm even having those thoughts of like, what else is out there? What if there's someone that matches more? Then I can't commit anymore. And that was the weirdest breakup that I've ever gone through because we didn't fight or anything. I just had to be like, I need to take a break. And I don't know why.
And she sounds like she's already decided that she likes this dude. Is it a she?
I think so.
So
if this is a heterosexual relationship, then right. I'm assuming she.
Right.
But if this is.
They get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, if it's like, if you got the vibe, right, going.
Yeah.
Then
just.
You already know what you like. If you know what you like, then you got to try to go for it, right? Got to take a swing.
Okay, so with Steve, I just knew.
You got drunk and you told me that you liked me.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And that helps a lot.
I was thinking of the other time when we were at the sketch, but yeah, that's true. So,
she got drunk and just told me what a great guy I am and stuff.
I feel like I've told this story a billion times, but like when I was writing those lists that I was talking about earlier of what I won't settle for anymore, I also wrote a separate list of like, okay, if I won't settle for that, what do I want in a guy? Like how do I want my relationship to look when I walk out of our bedroom? What type of person is greeting me? How do they treat me? What is that like? And I listed a bunch of qualities.
And you drew a hairline, a very specific hairline.
And then I remembered the way that Steve treated his girlfriend. And I was that was like so perfect. That was like exactly everything that I would want my boyfriend to do that I had never had anyone do for me. Just simple things like, I don't know, opening the door or being thoughtful and like taking – one time we were at a bowling alley and you took my shoes to a locker for me. And
That's just standard stuff for me.
I know, but nobody had ever done that before, like where they actually think of you and put you before them. I always do that for the people that I'm in a relationship with.
Yeah.
But I never really had someone do that back to me. Unless they were trying to, like, unless they felt like they owed me or something like that. Like, oh, she does this for me. I guess I'll do it back. Or I guess I'll, you know, kick her some crumbs, throw some crumbs out.
Yeah.
So I wrote down, I want a relationship I want the next guy that I date to be exactly like Steve Green. And then he got single. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no. At this point, Steve and I have been friends for 3 years, but we had both been in a serious relationship. And so we were completely off each other's tables. I had never even thought of him as a potential until I became single. And then I was like, oh, whoa. I started seeing him in a completely different light. And
I didn't even think that you were attractive.
See?
So I was, you know, I was completely – had to be sold. I had to be sold.
We were friends, similar situation, very comfortable with each other. We hung out a million times.
Yeah, done a million things together.
Same sense of humor, you know, meshed really well, like saw life the same way. But we were friends. Like how do you move it to the next level, especially when he was just going through a breakup? I had been single for like 8 months at this point. So I just – you know, I put out vibes to – this sounds really childish, but I told his best friend that I loved – that I had a crush on him.
Yeah.
I didn't say I loved
you. You didn't say you loved me.
Yeah, no. I said I had a crush on you. And then his best friend was like, oh, sweet, a rebound hookup.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
I'd give him some pussy. Hell yeah.
No. I want to date him. So give it 6 months. And
but that's not how I roll.
Yeah, his friend did not wait 6 months.
Well, but I'm a grown-ass man too. I'm like – first of all – like you said, I mean, yeah, I try to be a certain way in a relationship. And when I find out that is not reciprocated, especially later on.
Loyalty.
You know, if you find out you got cheated on, for example, or something like that.
Like cornerstone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, then you move on very quickly. At least I did. And I was just like, fuck that whole last thing. Like, blow it up. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm ready for the next thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I just jumped on it. So, well, I mean, really – I didn't even jump on it until we went on a date, and then I was like, oh, shit, I'm sold.
Yeah, totally, but that was the thing, too, is that Michael was like, oh, I could give it 6 months, or I could tell him now, and I was like, I really don't want you to tell him now because I want him to, like, have had a few rebounds first, so I'm not, like, a rebound.
Yeah, you were trying to overthink, like, the situation.
Right. But the thought of you finding someone else and getting in a relationship before we even had a chance to see if we clicked – outweighed the like wanting you to be emotionally stable first.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, hey, get him now or you're going to really regret if he gets in a relationship with someone who's just like you. What if he could find someone that's just like you? And then you'll wish that you would have said something.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. It comes at the risk of your friendship. So that's a hard thing.
Fuck friendship. No, seriously.
But if you really like this guy and you like just mesh that well, it's worth the risk.
Opposite opposite sex friendships, if you're straight or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are doomed.
Yeah.
Doomed no matter what. Like no matter what, eventually somebody couples up and then somebody's not as good friends anymore.
You got to be like Jim and Pam, man.
So, yeah.
Jim had to tell Pam.
Jim had to tell Pam,
and
okay?
And he's like, I really want to be friends, and it ruined their friendship.
See?
But then eventually they got
after
married
six seasons.
And had babies. Spoilers.
And then
for
they ruined
hasn't
the show.
Seen
and then ruined the show.
Office.
So there you go.
So gave yeah, us what we wanted. Good luck to you with that. I hope you have some. I hope you get him. You know,
yeah,
it
man.
Sounds like it
hey,
should
circle
work.
Back with us. Let us know if it worked out. You should just like say like
that
yo.
Was the worst advice ever.
She's like,
Casey.
It ruined my life. Thanks a lot. Literally, I eat out of a garbage
I'll never
can
find
now.
A friend like that again.
Damn, right.
Damn.
Hey, man, we're just trying to give friendly advice. We don't know all the situations.
We
everyone
don't know
who's
everything.
Like,
life
who's
didn't
like,
come
how
with a manual.
Dare you guys aren't experts. We know we're not experts,
we're not
dude.
Experts
we're,
at
just,
all.
We're just trying to navigate, man.
That's the whole point of this, by the way, is I didn't want to be an expert on every topic. I wanted to you to know that you're not alone and that there, all of us had to figure stuff out. Everyone is just trying to figure it out.
That's it.
We're all just human
even the
beings
experts ain't experts, dude.
With no manuals.
I know people were like, dude, I've got more talking to you for a couple minutes than I got from my therapist.
Yeah.
For example.
Me too. It's people all the time. What is it with that?
I don't know.
Think we just have
people,
a vibe.
We have a vibe. People like are like, I want to open up to you for some reason.
Yeah, people have, straight up strangers have been like, I've never told anybody that in my entire life, not even my therapist.
Yeah,
and same. I'm like, whoa, I just was sitting here reading my book.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why did you?
It's a vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
With an open vibe.
Yeah. I think it's that empathetic thing that I was talking about earlier, yeah. Like where it's almost like they could subconsciously tell that I could relate to their pain if
sure.
they told me.
Yeah.
Weird.
And then I go and tell everyone their secrets after.
I posted to a secret blog.
Oh, yeah. And I talk about how stupid they are for telling me their secrets.
I'm a really good secret keeper, I feel like.
You are very good at
secrets. People have told me their secrets, and I have not told anybody.
Yeah, we're good secret keepers.
We're really good secret keepers.
Unless it's a real juicy one.
But we'll tell each other.
Oh, yeah. We'll tell each other.
We tell each other.
No secrets of the marriage. Sorry.
Sorry. It's required by law. That's
it.
Not. But.
No, it's not.
All right. Any? Oh, by the way, thank you for listening. If you would like to rate and review us, that would help us a lot. And if you have any questions or topics that you really want to hear about, feel free to message us.
Shoot them in. We read all this stuff, man.
Podcast
we appreciate it.
At nikki.limo. NIKKI.LIMO. Final thoughts before we wrap up?
You know, love yourself. And
love
only,
yourself.
Only, but only through loving yourself will you find someone worthy of loving. I really do believe that.
I believe that too.
So don't you look at me like
I
that
believe,
with that face.
I believe you attract the type of love that you feel for yourself. So if you feel like shit towards yourself, then you're gonna find shit love. And
I agree.
And if you learn to like really accept yourself, everything flaws and all, then you'll find someone that accepts you flaws and all.
And there will be an innate confidence in you that is more attractive to people than like the, oh, I just suck at everything. I can't do anything. I suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Nobody wants to be with you if you suck that much. If
yeah,
you even
like,
think
oh,
that you
God.
Suck, nobody wants to be with the
I
guy
could
who
constantly
sucks.
Constantly tell you that you don't suck, but now I kind of feel like you do suck because
it's like
of
you're
how
convincing
much I have to
me how much
you.
You suck. I guess you suck.
Hey, you're really good at selling us on that.
But nobody sucks, man. I don't. Well, some people suck, but but you know what I mean. Like you gotta love yourself. You gotta like, I know it sounds so easy and people are like, come on, Steve, I can't just love myself, start loving myself. You have to start doing it sometime, right? You have to like find something about yourself that you like and then start attacking
yes.
life with that, using that
start
as your
there.
Weapon.
Start there.
Yes.
Take one thing that you really like about yourself
and use it as a
and
weapon
just
in life.
Exploit the shit out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because here's the thing is that you go out in life and you're already getting beat down. Life attacks you from all directions.
Life can't wait to kick
people
your ass.
People attack you. People want to bring you down. You know, businesses, taxes, just life attacks you. So you already are at a disadvantage there. But if you're the first person that's attacking yourself in the morning, then
oh,
you're at
doomed,
a
man.
Real
then you're going out. Then everything's kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to be the one that
there's
builds yourself up, that like puts that armor on. And but not to the point where like you're super
you're the shit. You can't be the shit. Don't be the
find
shit.
Find a nice balance.
Yeah, yeah. No, be.
Don't love yourself too much, okay, buddy.
Yeah, don't be better than people. That's my
yeah,
other
don't
thing.
Be better than
I don't
people.
Like that at all. I try not to be better than people. Always think that I think I'm better than things because I guess I come across.
Well, because you're cynical.
As right, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm actually pretty optimistic, and I
he is,
and I try to not be better than things.
Like, he's actually really inspiring how optimistic he is. It's made me more optimistic.
Oh, well, thank you.
Even though I seem like the sunny one that's like...
No, you're definitely not. But you are in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's just that that's not where you naturally go.
Yeah.
So you have to...
I feel like I've been burned so many times. I'm like, I don't want to get excited and then get burned, so I'll just not get excited.
See, and they call me the Miracle Man because for some reason it always works out.
Don't live life that way. That's
why they call me the Miracle Man.
Yeah. Yeah, you are the Miracle Man.
I am the Miracle Man.
All right. Final thoughts for me is... Dang. Don't settle.
Don't settle.
Don't settle anywhere. Find things that you won't settle about.
And when you find the one, all right, beat that pussy up. Beat it up.
We're done.
Don't hold back.
And we're done.
Beat that fucking thing up.
Why didn't anyone tell me?